French.
Hey, I'm Rob McDonald.
And this is the Great Plains Outdoors Podcast.
We're going to talk about everything from fishing and hunting to hiking, paddling, and adventures on the Great Plains. We'll cover it all here.
So join us each episode and hear what's going on in the great outdoors on the Great Plains. Welcome to another episode on the Great Plains Outdoors Podcast. If you haven't yet, be sure to check out our new website, greatplainsoutdoors.com. We are pretty excited about this new adventure, and we are uploading content, you know, pretty much every week. So be sure to hop over there and check it out. This is going to be a fish-packed episode with our guest Daryl and our very own Grandpa Fish today. Rob, how excited are you about our monthly fishing report?
Brittany, I am always excited to talk fishing, and especially with a couple of guys as knowledgeable as our co-host and resident fishing expert Grandpa Fish, and having our guest Daryl Bauer from Nebraska on. I think this is going to be the best way to kick off this episode, just talking about fishing and angling on the Great Plains, is with Brent Frazee, our Grandpa Fish's monthly fishing report. Brent, what have you been up to lately, and how is the fishing on the Great Plains this month?
I have been fishing several times. Just yesterday, I was at Mazingo Lake in northern Missouri, which has really gotten a national reputation for bass fishing. I mean, against all odds, it's a watershed lake in northern Missouri. It's just out on the plains up there near Maryville, and It's quite a bass fishing lake. Now, the bass fishing was fair. It was decent. We got enough to get a good picture fish, as we call it. But the guys think it was kind of funny. They think that, I guess, Mazinga Lake was just swamped with people for the 4th of July. And we were there the day after the 4th of July. And they think the bass were still shell-shocked by all the fireworks and all the boats running over the top of them and everything. But that was fun. By the way, Daryl, I gotta tell you, I haven't officially changed my name to Grandpa Fish. On my driver's license, it still says Brent Frazee.
We're really hopeful that change is coming soon. Yeah.
When I'm in a nursing home, I'll officially have it changed. But we're just having some fun with it because I am a grandpa, and my friends say that I look like a fish, so it's a perfect nickname. But anyway, hey, we're going to talk some about what's going on in our area, and then we're gonna talk to Daryl. First of all, in Missouri, the fishing, it's a phenomenon at Truman Lake. Some of the best fishing of the year always takes place in the heat of summer. The crappies get in a real predictable pattern. They get out in the timber, usually along a fence line or something like that, an edge type of situation. And it's just fantastic right now. The guides are telling me it's taken them like an hour to get a limit of good fish. So that's one thing going on at Truman. Another thing that's going on at Truman is they are catching white bass and hybrids like crazy. I mean, it's really been good. Jigging spoons, unstructured humps, that type of thing. So in Missouri, that's a really good a really good option for you. One more thing in Missouri, Lake of the Ozarks, the bass fishing has really been good. I mean, you would think that maybe as the heat of summer comes on, that it would slow down. But some of the guides at Missouri are telling me they are catching the heck out of bass, usually on big plastic worms or jigs, jig and pig, in the brush piles, in the halfway deep brush piles, like, say, 15 to 20 feet of water. So it's getting pretty predictable. Summer's a tough time for the average fisherman. Doesn't like to be out there in the heat. I don't either. But at the same time, bass and all types of species, they love stability. If you get into a pattern with the weather where it's just stable, they get into a pretty predictable thing. And a lot of people tell me, and I found it too, that if you have stable weather, you know, the fish are going to, it's one of those times of the year where the fish will be, they'll get into a pattern and you can go back to the same places and catch them the same way. So keep that in mind. I've talked to people around the Great Plains, and we're going to talk to Daryl and get the lowdown on what's going on in Nebraska. But a few things. First of all, Kansas, Milford Lake. Milford is a great summer lake. I don't know why. They got a lot of shad. Once those shad grow to a size where the fish will really go after them, you can have some great fishing. And that's what's going on right now at Milford. Early in the morning, they're catching some wipers and white bass on topwater lures. And there's nothing more exciting than watching a hybrid or a wiper blow up on a topwater lure. They use some of the biggest topwater baits, like a saltwater. They use saltwater plugs like a chug bug or a big whopper plopper. I've done it a number of times there. It is fun. It is super fun. When the water just starts boiling with these fish, you better be ready to cast, because you're going to catch a fish. It's a lot of fun. But anyway, that's going on. And also at Milford, they're catching smallmouth bass. And again, heat of summer, but they have so much big rock out there that, you know, there's a lot of shade for the fish. The smallmouths will get down in the cracks in those big boulders and everything, and you can catch them. I mean, plastic baits, small plastic baits like twister tails and stuff are really good. And chatterbaits are always good for smallmouth bass out there too. Now, a smaller type chatterbait, but I also throw a finesse jig and pig, like a smaller jig and pig. You're imitating a crawdad, and, you know, smallmouth usually don't go after the real big jig and pig, but I go to a smaller jig and pig, and that always works really well for bigger fish out there. One other thing in Kansas, Pomona Lake. Pomona is right now has big crappie. The size of the crappies out there is in real good shape. And, you know, it doesn't always get hit really hard like some of the lakes closer to Kansas City. But Pomona is really a good lake. And they have been catching some crappies at Pomona. In fact, the latest statewide report said up to 14 inches. So that's a nice size crappie. And there's also good white bass and wiper fishing at Pomona too. And again, that's mostly early and late in the day. Not so much in the middle of the day when the sun's beating down, but if you get out early, good chance of catching catching some nice fish out there. Plus, they're catching some big channel cat out there, too, at Pomona. So, so going on to some other parts of the Great Plains, Lake Oahe in South Dakota. If you've been there, Lake Oahe is like an ocean. I mean, it is huge. It's, I think, 370,000 acres. And it's a Missouri River reservoir out there. It's always been known for its walleye fishing. And they have a good year class coming on right now. I talked to Mike McClelland, who is a legend with walleye fishing. He runs a guide service out there. He said they're doing really well right now. A lot of 18 to 20 inch walleyes out there. Not so much the giant walleyes, but still they have some good steady walleye fishing, and they've been taking limits. They've been taking limits of fish. What he's doing is just using a pretty basic rig. He is using a bottom bouncer and then just a 3-foot leader, a number two hook, and bait that with a leech. Sometimes with a piece of a nightcrawler also, but leeches are the big things right now. You know, Oahe is not just about walleye fishing, though. It's they've also got an excellent smallmouth bass fishery right now. And the smallmouths don't get hit as hard as the walleyes. Something about you Nebraska boys call bass ditch pickles and all that things like that. But I'm still happy to catch them. And there's some big smallmouth bass right now at Lake Oahe. And they also have a population of big channel cat. I went out there to fish with a guide one time for walleyes, and we did real well on walleyes. And then he said, "Hey, let's go below the dam and let's see if we can catch a channel cat." Well, these aren't your ordinary channel cat. These are big channel cat. I mean, and we just had a blast. I think I had more fun fishing for the channel cat than I did the walleyes. It was really fun. The one thing I will caution you about with Oahe, if they get any type of wind at all, remember I said it, how big it is, then it about chases everybody off the water because there's not a lot of protection. And when you're going out, you can have up to 4 to 5 foot waves out there on the main lake on Oahe. And it's not always, you know, once you get to a place, it can be pretty protected and things, but then you've got to get back to the ramp. So McClelland was telling me when they have a bad wind day at Oahe, he drops down to Lake Sharp, which is the next reservoir in that system, and that is much more protected, and they've been catching limits of walleyes there too. So, you know, they usually got a good 1-2 punch there between Oahe and Lake Sharp. In North Dakota, Devil's Lake is a really good walleye lake, but it's known for yellow perch. They have some monster yellow perch. But interestingly, I've been talking to some of the guides up there. They don't fish for them as much in the spring and summer. And I said, well, why is that? And they become kind of nomadic. I mean, the perch, they just kind of wander with the bait. And that was interesting to me that you said that there's not many people who really target yellow perch in the spring and summer. They're chasing the walleyes. And again, good walleye population there. Good concentrations of fish. They like to fish. They fish a lot of roadbeds and main lake structure. Daryl, I bet you know the guy I talked to up there, Johnny Candle. He's a professional guide and a professional fisherman. He's really got a good handle on what's going on with things. They're telling me again, they're going out with a party of four, and they're going out early in the morning, and by 8 o'clock, everybody has their limit of keeper walleyes. So that's something to keep in mind. I mean, it's a good fishing lake. Now going back to the yellow perch, the time it's a great thing for the summertime. They have the walleyes. Winter, they just slam the big yellow perch. I mean, the fish concentrate and they don't roam as much. And from say October into the winter, they really catch the big yellow perch, and that's how it got its name. Devil's Lake, it got its name for good perch, yellow perch fishing. Clear Lake in Iowa, really interesting situation there. For years, it was a good lake, and just gradually it started silting in, and the depth shrank, and they got more harmful sediment in the lake. A community project, they had a community project to restore part of that lake, the west end of the lake. And they dredged it and got some filters for the things coming in. There's a big marsh that feeds the lake, and they restored that marsh. And the depth went from about, on the west end, from about a maximum of 6 feet to almost 20 feet now. And they're really seeing the benefits with the fishing. They're really starting to catch a lot of nice walleyes there. There's a restrictive limit, but still you can get a limit of walleyes there. And interesting, they also have one of Iowa's best channel cat lakes. Some of the fish get up to 15 to 20 pounds. And the guide I talked to, Kevin Paul, he also runs a bait shop up there, and he said they have been seeing some of those jumbo channel cat right now. So that's kind of a neat deal. Another thing is that they have there, and I hadn't even heard of this very much. They have yellow bass, and I thought maybe that's a nickname for another type of bass or something like that. But a yellow bass is it looks like a small white bass, but with a yellow tint to it. And they have one of the best populations of yellow bass in this whole area, this whole region. I mean, they have a lot of them. And they were getting overpopulated, and they made a real effort to take them out of there. They're a small fish. They grow to a fish 10 to 12 inches is a good size yellow bass, but they fight like boogers. I mean, they are just one fighting SOB, I tell you. So, you know, that's kind of a neat deal. They really, they had some winter ice fishing tournaments there to hit the yellow bass and get the population down. It's now to the point where the population has been reduced, but they do have bigger fish now. So it's, you know, they're getting the population to where they want it. And it's a nice little bonus species for the people. So it's a neat deal. I'm going to end with Nebraska, and then we're going to go to Daryl. Nebraska, I'm hearing all kinds of good things about Lake McConaughey. And Lake McConaughey is I've fished it. It's just one of the best walleye lakes in the entire Midwest. And I'm including like Minnesota, Wisconsin, that type of thing. Maybe not the numbers that some places have, but for size, it's absolutely incredible. They take fish up to, as the guide I talked to said, a 5-pound walleye is not anything special at McConaughey. Now Daryl might dispute this when we talk to him, but still he said they don't get too excited unless they see a fish 8 pounds, and that's good fishing. Now that's not going to happen every day. You people who fish a lot, you know, things differ day to day, but it tells you a lot about their walleye population. They have a really good population, really good bait fish population. And I think that's a lot of times that's a key to these really good lakes. If they have a good population of bait fish. Now I talked to a couple of guides and one of them said they have a real rich population of alewives, and that feeds the system, and they're high nutrient type bait fish, and he said that's part of the reason. And one thing that I found interesting, that these people were telling me I asked them how they're catching them, and I never expected what he told me. He said they're trolling bass spinnerbaits. They're trolling big bass spinnerbaits through the timber. And that's how they're catching these bigger walleyes. So you learn something every day, I tell you. But really, McConaughey is a gem. It's a gem. And for the Great Plains, it's pretty centrally located. If you want to, you can do a Google search and find walleye guides. They have a lot of walleye guides out there at McConaughey. I would highly suggest it. So anyway, that's kind of a segue to our guest today. Daryl Bauer is a lifelong resident of Nebraska. He's been employed as a fisheries biologist for the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission for 25 years. And he's currently the fisheries outreach program manager. In other words, he promotes what Nebraska has going on with fishing. And there's a lot going on with Nebraska fishing. A lot of people think of Nebraska for hunting, and justifiably so, but they have a lot of good fishing too. I've talked to Daryl for articles that I've done in the past, and he's a wealth of knowledge. He loves to share his educational knowledge, and he's a multi-species angler himself. He holds, listen to this, 120 Nebraska Master Angler Awards for 14 different species. And he holds more than 30 In Fisherman Master Angler Awards for 8 different species. He loves to talk fishing, and he answers questions about fishing in Nebraska, which is great because we're going to talk to him today. Welcome, Daryl. Thank you for joining us.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Daryl, I got to ask, how do you display all of those great awards?
Well, I'm sorry. They're in a stack sitting on a desktop. But yeah, that's a program we've had in Nebraska ever since I've been a kid. So that's been, we just something we do for our anglers. But it's been something fun and kind of a trophy. And that's been something that has been a goal of mine since I was young, and I've carried it on through my life. So yeah, mostly that just tells you I spend a lot of time fishing.
I love that. We all like to chase a goal, right? And to get awarded at the end of it, well, that's even better. So I think it's a great program.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's there if you like it. I know some anglers have caught a lot more big fish than I ever have, and I've never turned them in for the Master Angler Awards, but we have that program available, and some folks, like you said, you know, like the reward, the certificate, the goal. I always tell you, a trophy is what you make of it, but there's one way you can remember some of those trophy fish you caught. And like I said, it's been something that I've done since I was a kid. I've got Master Angler Awards that my grandparents caught, and so it's always meant something to us.
That's cool.
So, hey, Daryl, tell us a little bit about Nebraska fishing. I mean, as we were talking, I mean, to the general public, Nebraska is probably better known for its hunting.
Sure.
And its fishing, but there's still some great opportunities sure. in Nebraska, isn't there?
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned that. There was a time where we marketed ourselves as the mixed bag capital of the world. And we marketed that, you know, for the hunting opportunities, you know, from waterfowl to upland game to big game. But I've always said that's true for our fishing opportunities too. I'll tell you, Nebraska may not have as much water as some of our neighboring states. And you guys will discover I've got a whole speech on this, so I hope I don't sound like you just put a quarter in me. We are truly a place where north meets south and east meets west. And if you have a chance to travel across Nebraska, we have a diversity of geography, a diversity of climate, and that means a diversity of habitats, both terrestrial and aquatic habitats. So I think one of the neat things Nebraska offers for hunters and anglers is a variety of opportunities. So I'm always talking about Nebraska fishing and telling folks we have everything from trout, some cold water streams that support trout year round, to, you know, warm water species like the catfish species, everything from a variety of panfish up to some of the biggest predator fish in freshwater, including muskies. Someplace in Nebraska, you can go and find good fishing for all that variety. And I think that's a neat thing that Nebraska offers, is just a variety of different fish to pursue.
That's fantastic, Daryl. You know, that's definitely not the first thing that has come to my mind. I grew up actually just a little way south of the Nebraska line, up near Harlan County Reservoir and sure. Alma, Nebraska. And, but having that, you start to think about from the sand hills to clear out to the river in the east, and stretching from the Kansas border all the way up to South Dakota. Yeah, there's a ton of opportunity there. Would you mind taking just a minute, Daryl, and just give us a little bit of background on yourself? You know, you've got all these Master Angler Awards. You know, was that from a lifetime of fishing? You know, where have you bounced around Nebraska for a little bit? Maybe what area are you at? And
sure.
How's that influenced your angling?
Well, I come from outdoors people on both sides. That's always what we've done together as family, is hunt and fish. And so I didn't have any choice, but I've loved the outdoors ever since the very beginning. I love to hunt too, but like Brent mentioned, I got a particular soft spot for fishing, and I was born in Western Nebraska. Alliance is the old homestead. You can still find Bowers on the original homestead there north of Alliance. And from there, my family, we ended up in North Platte. I graduated high school in North Platte, which is a good central location, and a sportsman's paradise. A lot of water around North Platte, a lot of great fishing opportunities, hunting opportunities. Then, of course, ended up going to college here at Lincoln, University of Nebraska. Go Huskers. And then I did a couple years of graduate school in South Dakota at South Dakota State, and I loved it up there. Was fishing and hunting whenever I wasn't in class up there. But after a couple years of grad school, I was blessed to get a job back in Nebraska, back home. And so I've been back in Nebraska ever since. I bounced around from our headquarters here in Lincoln, spent some time in a regional office in Kearney for a few years. Aside from a couple years going to grad school in South Dakota, I've been in Nebraska my whole life. I've got family in Valentine and north central part of the state too. So I've been blessed to be able to not just be in Nebraska, but travel the state and see that variety and get around, still get around every chance I get. I'm stuck in headquarters in Lincoln, but every chance I get, I try and get out and around the state and keep my fingers on what we're doing in the fisheries division at the Game and Parks Commission, and as well as sample the fishing opportunities we have. Every time I'm in the vehicle traveling the state, you guys better believe the fishing gear's with me.
I like that attitude. Daryl, maybe you could dissect the state for us and
sure.
And give just a few, you don't have to get in great detail, but just give us a highlight fishery for each part of the state. You can start wherever you want, if you want to start out west and then bring it east or whatever.
Well, I can do that. Let me do it the opposite way. Let's start in the east. And I'll kind of talk about some of that change in geography and climate. You know, eastern Nebraska, and you guys know it's the Great Plains, so we have wet years and we have dry years, but on average, we'll have over 30 inches of rain in the eastern part of Nebraska, and you'll see deciduous forest and lots of corn in eastern Nebraska, southeast Nebraska especially. We have the Missouri River runs along our eastern border and provides a large river fishery with some huge catfish. You know, that's mostly in the southeast Nebraska, especially what the Missouri River is known for. You get up northeast part of the state, then the Missouri River, we have more diversity up there and some stretches of the Missouri River there in northeast Nebraska that is relatively wild yet, unchannelized. And it would be a lot like the river perhaps that Lewis and Clark found when they traveled upstream all those years ago. As you travel west across Nebraska then, it's a lot of farmland, you bet, that's what Nebraska is. But you'll find our climate changes as you go west. You get clear to the western part of the state. Instead of 35 inches of rain per year, we're talking about maybe 15 inches of rain, 18 inches of rain on average per year. So it's a lot drier climate. We go from tall grass prairie in eastern Nebraska to short grass high plains in western Nebraska, and very northwest corner of the state, some of the rocky escarpments and buttes and ponderosa pine trees. And it looks a lot like the Black Hills or some of the foothills to the Rocky Mountains in parts of western Nebraska. And you'll find some of our cold water fisheries there where we have spring-fed creeks that support trout year-round. So some opportunities to catch brook trout, brown trout, rainbow trout, even some cutthroat trout, if you believe that.
Oh,
in between, one of the things that I think is most uniquely Nebraska is our Sandhills region in the central part of the state, north-central part of the state. This is the largest grass-stabilized sand dune region in the world. It is relatively untouched. There's some farming in the sand hills, but mostly it's rolling hills of native grass. It's ranch country. It's great cattle country. It's unique landscape. I think it's unique to Nebraska. I think it's one thing that makes Nebraska special is you don't find anything else like that anywhere in the country. It is relatively dry, and you look at those hills, those rolling dunes and grass, and it just it's all you see for miles and miles and miles. But believe it or not, in the valleys between those hills, there's wetlands, marshes and wetlands, and some of the bigger wetlands are lakes. And these are some of the only real natural lakes that we have in the state, are those sandhill lakes in that north central part of the state. Now, some of those lakes are too shallow or too salty, too alkaline to support fish, but a bunch of them are sweet water, we call them. So they don't have too much salt. They support fish, and they're incredibly productive fisheries. You'll find some high-density northern pike populations in some of the sandhill lakes, some fast-growing big panfish, yellow perch, bluegills, big black crappies, and they're shallow, lots of aquatic vegetation, which makes them ideal largemouth bass habitats, too. So some of the fattest, prettiest bass you'll find anywhere are out there in those sandhill lakes. So that's just a quick review of a few things that are found in the state. We have a lot of man-made waters, sand pits, farm ponds across the state. Again, great panfish and bass fisheries. And then, of course, a lot of reservoirs in Nebraska, some of which were made for flood control, but a lot of which were made for irrigation. So you'll see on our reservoirs like McConaughey, water levels fluctuate every year. And McConaughey's down dozens of feet right now from full pool. And depending on weather patterns, water levels come up and go down, and we go through those cycles all the time. And that changes habitat conditions, that changes fish populations. But some of our big reservoirs are, as you mentioned already, great walleye fisheries, white bass, wipers, channel catfish. And when water conditions are right, maybe some bass, maybe some crappies too in our big reservoirs. That's just a quick view. And again, you guys get me started, I could talk about any of those and the variety of fishing opportunities we have on all of them.
You sold me. I'm packing my stuff. Yeah, heading to the sand hills right now.
Yeah, well,
between the duck hunting, Nebraska's not that bad.
Yeah.
We joke about people drive across Nebraska on Interstate 80, and especially eastern part of Nebraska, it's cornfields, and Interstate 80 follows the Platte River then from central Nebraska on west. And you get a little bit of a taste of some of that change in geography and some of that beauty if you get off the interstate. If you really want to see what Nebraska has to offer, get off the interstate, start getting on some of those highways and get out and into the countryside. And I can just about bet you I can take you places in Nebraska that you wouldn't believe were in Nebraska. Because it's not all cornfields, it's not all flat.
I love it.
Yeah. Darryl, you mentioned Interstate 80, and that had me curious about the borrow pit program.
Yes.
Is that something Nebraska has going on there?
You bet. Another one of my favorites. I mentioned I grew up and graduated high school North Platte. That's right in the middle of the interstate lakes. When Interstate 80 was built across Nebraska, I mentioned it follows the Platte Valley for much of its length. And when they were building the interstate, they excavated dirt to build up the roadway. And so when they excavated that fill material, they ended up with a hole in the ground. And in the river valley, the water table was high enough, those holes in the ground immediately filled with water. And so you have these series of interstate lakes right next to the interstate. For much of Nebraska, from Grand Island on west, clear out to, even Chapel, you could find one of the interstate lakes. So they're borrow pits. They're relatively small. They aren't big lakes. They're a little different than the sand pits that are created when they pump sand and gravel because the borrow pits aren't quite as deep. So you're looking at 15 feet maximum depths on a lot of them, maybe a little bit deeper than that. Again, they're very productive fisheries, get some aquatic vegetation growing in them, some fallen trees around the shorelines. So again, lots of largemouth bass, bluegills, channel catfish, and then a variety of other species depending on the particular interstate lake. And I grew up in North Platte fishing those interstate lakes. I love them. The neat thing about them is they're all close together. You can fish three or four of them in a day if you aren't catching fish on one of them. throw the gear into a pickup and down the road 10 miles and you can be on the next one and give it a try. Fortunately, when those lakes were built, some of our state leaders at the time had the foresight to keep those in the public domain. So most of those interstate lakes are open to the public and you can pull in and fish. And they are a great resource. And again, if you're doing some traveling across Nebraska, you might need to spend a night. You might as well bring the fishing gear and hit an interstate lake while you're there.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, is if they're open to the public. And
you bet. Yeah,
that's great. That's wonderful.
They're a great resource for our state, where we need all the water we could get and all the public fishing we could get. That is a blessing that we kept most all of those interstate lakes open to the public.
Nice. I could see where a young family as a gateway into ice fishing in the wintertime. You're trying to get kids out there and explore something new, man. You're close to the interstate, hotels, restaurants, spend the afternoon punching holes in the ice there. That'd be a fantastic trip.
You bet. And a lot of people do that. I will make one caution. I loved ice fish. Absolutely love it. Safety first. And you have to watch the ice conditions on those interstate lakes and any of the sand pits in Nebraska. They are groundwater fed, and you wouldn't think of it, but the groundwater is moving too. In fact, the groundwater is moving the same direction as the water's moving in the adjacent river. And so you'll see sand pits in interstate lakes in Nebraska, especially on the west end. The ice won't be quite as thick as you think it is because of that water movement from west to east, even in those sand pits and interstate lakes. But given the cold water, or cold weather, so we have safe ice, you bet. There's some great ice fishing opportunities on the interstate lakes and a lot of other waters in Nebraska too.
Daryl, how can people get more information on the fishing in Nebraska? Sure. What would you suggest?
Well, of course, it's the internet age, so everything's on the internet. A good place to start would be our Game and Parks Commission website, outdoornebraska.org. It'll get you there. And then we have a fishing page there. You can see where to fish. You can see a public lands atlas or public waters atlas. That'll show you all the public waters in the state. And you know, basic information then about species that are present, rules and regulations. You can see our fishing guide there, which has the rules and regulations. And in the back of the fishing guide, we list all the public waters in the state. And again, you know, the information you need to know on where those at, species of fish, special regulations and things like that. So that's a great place to start. You can pick up that fishing guide if you'd like a hard copy in your hand. Most tackle shops, bait shops, or places that sell fishing permits, you can pick up a copy of the fishing guide. Another thing I'll mention, we produce an annual fishing forecast. So that kind of goes hand in hand with the fishing guide. It's a little pamphlet we produce every year. You can see it on our website. We take fish population sampling that our field biologists do every year. We take some of that information and summarize it and put it into that fishing forecast. So there's some graphs there that show you, where we sampled different species of fish, the numbers we sampled, the sizes we sampled, so you can kind of make some comparisons to see which waters are going to be hot the coming year. And then you'll provide a little bit of text there too to highlight what are going to be some of the best waters for the coming year. So our anglers, most first of the year, new year, they'll pick up a fishing guide, they'll pick up a fishing forecast, and that'll give them a good idea of where they need to be going and what's going to be happening in that current year as far as fishing opportunities.
Very good.
I feel like we're all ready to go fish in Nebraska now.
Oh man, I'm ready.
Is anybody else like looking at what days can I take off and go up there?
After I heard Brent talk about Whopper Ploppers and Chuck Bugs and Jigging Pig and Ditch Pickles, I was like, man, I thought maybe being like a greeting card writer was like going to be a pinnacle. But if I could name fishing lures and then go try them out in Nebraska, I think maybe I'm hitting the jackpot, right?
I tell you, where I'd really like to go is a lot of places Daryl was talking about, but those sand hill lakes. Daryl, I think you did a magazine article for your Nebraska Game and Fish on the sand hill lakes once. I think somebody emailed that to me.
I probably have done several, but yeah, you know, and again, you guys, you'll hear me say, this is my favorite. That's my favorite. Well, the Sand Hill Lakes are another one of my favorites. And largely because they are, like I said, some of the only real natural lakes we have in the state. And they're kind of unique, just tremendous fisheries. Guys, I was to Valentine for the 4th of July. We spent some time fishing the Sand Hill Lake while we were there. My son and I slipped out, you know, with all the family activities of the holiday. We ended up fishing middle of the day, bright sunshine, hot. But we said, you know what, let's go wade and we'll catch some bass. And we did. We caught a lot of bass, probably around 20 of them between the two of us on one of our Sand Hill Lakes. Now, we're waiting, we're fishing weeds, but the bass are right there in the weeds. We couldn't get them to go on top waters. We tried, but spinner baits and some fluke baits, they were very willing to hit those, and we had a lot of fun. Fish averaged about 3 pounds. Didn't catch any big bass, but a lot of fish in that 3 pound range. And we had a lot of fun. Yep. Especially middle of the day. That. Yeah. Yep. Our Sandhill Lakes are well known for their ice fishing opportunities too. There's some big panfish in those lakes. They can be hard to find during the summer because there is a lot of vegetation, a lot of aquatic vegetation. That dies back in the winter a little bit. And so you'll hear more of the panfish reports on those Sand Hill Lakes during the winter. And then during the summer, you'll find guys fish the Sand Hill Lakes more for the bass and pike during the summer, and a little less for the panfish during the summer. But they're really neat lakes. Again, they're in the middle of Sand Hills Prairie. And then you find these neat little wetlands and lakes sitting out there in the middle of all that grass. It is really kind of a neat experience, and just a great place to be, and, you know, full of wildlife too, besides the fishing. Just a great place to see a variety of wildlife, and a great place to be out in the wide open, quiet spaces of Nebraska prairie.
I love that. Daryl, do they get affected by the heat and, I mean, are they low enough that
bit, and I'll tell you that they are very unique fisheries, water bodies. They're relatively shallow. The deepest sandhill lakes we know of are only about 20 feet deep. Most of them, you'll find maximum depths are more like 6 and 8 feet. So you'd think they'd be susceptible to, you know, winter kill, summer kill, droughts. But the neat thing about it is the groundwater. Nebraska sets over the Ogallala Aquifer, and those Nebraska sandhills are the big sponge for the Ogallala Aquifer. It is literally, you know, a big water catchment basin where that water percolates down through that sand and into the aquifer. And then that's why in those low valleys, you have the water in the valleys, is it's from the groundwater. And so that's why those lakes, even though they're relatively shallow, We can have some fish kills, but not nearly as often as you'd expect. The water stays a little bit cooler than during the summer than you would expect. Again, it's because of the groundwater connection. So they're a really neat resource and really unique to Nebraska. And so, yeah, if you get a chance to do some fishing on our sandhill lakes, I don't think you'll find anything quite like it anyplace else. And some great fishing to boot.
One last question real quick. Are they accessible for the shore fishermen, for the bank fishermen?
They can get a little challenging, okay? A small boat, a flat bottom boat is usually about perfect. The kayaks are great. A float tube will work. But there's a few of them you can put on the waders and get out to them and get out deep enough that you can catch fish. The one I fished last weekend, we just waited. We did. I'll tell you this, though, normally this time of year, I'd wade wet. OK, we'd put on the tenor shoes and the pair of old jeans or something and wade right in. But we don't do that so much on the Sandhill Lakes. Because there are a few leeches in there that you'll find attached to your legs. So we usually wear the waders even during the middle of the summer on our Sandhill Lakes. But still, you got out there until you were belly deep in the water. And even on a hot afternoon, it was really comfortable, really enjoyable. You got hot when you got out of the water, of course. But as long as you kept wading and kept fishing, it was great being out there. And the bass were biting, so we had a great time.
Fun. Well, are we going to go to our lightning round, or are we out of time?
No, let's try it. Let's shoot for the lightning round, Brent. We can't skip that.
That is like becoming the highlight of our podcast.
I like it.
I think we're going to have Laura come up with like a theme song for it, like a ESPN noise or something.
I like the Jeopardy sound or something, yeah.
Well, in this is just, you just give me a quick answer. I'm going to put you on the spot on some of these, and you can say no comment, I guess. Biggest fish caught in Nebraska.
My biggest would be about a 55-pound flathead catfish caught here from a reservoir just north of Lincoln. Caught on a crankbait, by the way, too.
Really?
Crankbait.
Yep. Yep.
Fun. Okay, this is a tough one, and maybe instead of best lake, your favorite lake in Nebraska. Favorite body of water.
I'd hate to pin one down. There's so many favorites and so many good memories over the years. McConaughey's one of them. Merritt Reservoir up by Valentine would be another one that we've just spent a lot of time on and we'll for sure keep going back to.
Okay, very good. Your favorite fish to pursue?
I hate that question too because I like it all. And a lot of it depends on the time of year and what's biting. But I gotta admit, big predators turn my crank. So there's some time every year I spend chasing big flatheads, big walleyes, and we got some muskies that really get me going too.
Nice. River or lake?
Oh,
you're breaking his heart.
Probably lake, just because I probably spent more time on standing waters. But we've got some really cool flowing waters, rivers and streams too. And I love fishing them too.
Okay. Your preference, bait casting or spinning?
I use them both. And I'm always saying use the right tool for the job. But I'll admit I probably use spinning gear a little more than I do casting gear.
Okay. Favorite lure?
Oh, geez. My tackle box weighs 500 pounds, so don't make me choose one. But for just catching fish, give me a jig. I spend a lot of time, though, throwing crankbaits and swim baits for big predators. And of course, I have all of those in a variety of sizes, styles, and colors. Put one of those on my line and turn me loose and I'm pretty confident I can catch something.
Okay, best.
I feel like we have to insert another question there and say, what's the funniest name for one of your lures?
That is true. You guys, honestly, if you listen, there's a bunch of them, you know, we've talked about already this morning, you know, but, you know, jitterbugs, bayou boogies, woolly buggers, fuzzy grubs, you know, it goes on and on.
There it goes.
I hear you.
And all the 6-year-olds start rolling.
Yep. Best bank fishing.
You guys, you know what? I don't own a boat. So a lot of times I'm fishing from a pair of waders. So I'm bank fishing all the time. And again, you can catch just about anything that swims from the bank at the right time of year in the right place. And so I never tell people you have to have a boat to catch fish on any of those fisheries. Probably best bank fishing, though, would be someplace like we talked about, those interstate lakes, you know, because those smaller waters from the bank, you can get pretty much to all the water you need to.
I got one last question and I'm done. If you were restricted to one type of fish in Nebraska, what would it be? Again, for a multi-species guy, that's a tough question.
Yeah. You know, I love smallmouth bass. I wish we had more smallmouth bass to fish for. If I had smallmouth bass, I would fish for them just about all the time. But I love I already told you, I love the muskies, the walleyes. Geez, there's times where just catching some bluegills or crappies are about as fun as it gets too, or tromping up the stream, catching trout. So picking just one would be tough. Sure. But yeah, smallmouth would be right up near the top of my list.
They are fun. Well, that's all the grilling I have for you, Daryl.
And I do a terrible job just giving one answer.
No, you did great.
You did very good. We have lots of folks who have to explain themselves because we put them in quite the position to pick one or the other. And it's very hard on them and pulls on heartstrings.
One of my favorite answers for a lot of questions is it depends. So there's always conditions.
Elaborate a little bit more. What are my parameters? Well, this is awesome. Daryl, thank you so much for joining us. How can, I know you mentioned go to outdoornebraska.org.
Sure.
If you have any other resources or ways people can connect with you, feel free to share those with us.
Honestly, and you guys heard what my job title is, and you know what I do a lot of? Answering questions. That's what I'm here for. So I'm not afraid to give people my email is my name, Daryl. Daryl.Bauer, Bauer at nebraska.gov and spell out Nebraska. Or you can reach me at my office numbers 402-471-5005. And I'll throw one other thing in. I blog. Barbs and Backlash is the name of my blog. I do try and do that 2 or 3 times a week. It's almost always about fishing, although there are a few times a year I'll throw in some hunting material or maybe even some trapping material, but it's mostly about fish and fishing in Nebraska almost all the time. So you can drop in, check that out, and you see what's going on, see what's rattling around in my head that I put down on paper for a blog post.
So that's barbs, like a barb on a hook.
Yep.
And backlash.
Yep, barbs and backlashes.
Okay, backlashes.com. Is that where we find that?
If you do a search for barbs and backlashes, you'll find you. It'll come up.
We'll find it.
Okay, perfect.
Yep.
I love it. Well, here's another plug for you guys. There are so many other groups out there, too, that get involved with fishing. You know, thinking off the top of my head, we've got the Flatland Fly Fishers here in Kansas. There's Bassmaster groups, and I could just probably rattle off a lot more. But like Daryl said, get on there and do some searching. You know, what's in your area, depending on what state you're in, it may look different. But lots of good resources out there. Lots of good folks to who'd be willing to show you the way too. So don't feel afraid to do some research and ask for help if you're looking to get involved in the world of fishing. As you can hear, it's pretty fun.
There's no better way to learn something to get involved in those clubs, those local clubs, and no better way to get back to the sport and the resource as well, because almost all those clubs are helping us promote fishing, care for the resources. In Nebraska here, we got Cornhusker Fly Fishers, Nebraska Chapter Trout Unlimited, Nebraska Walleye Association, of course, Nebraska Bass Federation, TBF Nebraska. Those are all we got a Muskies Inc. chapter here in Nebraska too. So you absolutely check them out, get involved. You'll meet some great people. You'll learn some things, and it'll make you a better angler and also give back to the sport and to the resource.
I love it. Daryl, thank you so much for joining us. You guys have a great weekend, I should say. I hope you're out doing some fishing, and be sure to check out greatplainsoutdoors.com.
Thanks, guys. Thanks again, Daryl.
Thank you, Daryl.
For having me. My pleasure. Love doing it.
It was fun.